It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. I want to thank you, my friend, for being a laborer in the harvest of God through Bible Home Church. I want to thank you for your prayers for this ministry, reaching out across the world. All of you friends listening overseas, outside the United States, wherever you're at, whether it's in Africa or Europe or South America, I want to thank you for listening. And I just pray that God will bless you for being a laborer. He says the harvest is plenteous. There are many that are just waiting to hear the word of God, but the laborers are few. Things are white to harvest, my friends. As I look around me, I see that prosperity seems to be sprouting everywhere. But you know, in the midst of prosperity, there's always misery and sadness. And I feel that as sin abounds, the Bible tells us that God's love and his caring abounds. His grace abounds as well. So you just have confidence in God. Well, we're having a series, as you know, on how to be a soul winner. Today we're going to be talking about some very important things. As you deal with open-hearted people, people that really want to know about Christ Jesus, but they're just not sure. They really haven't heard the gospel message. Oh, they may have grown up in a church, who knows, with a kind of lukewarm or just plain cold sermons. I don't even want to call them sermons anymore. Little homilies that are preached and discussed in churches today. Apostate churches, not even today, not even having a form of godliness, and certainly not the power thereof. But today we're going to be discussing Jesus. Yes, we're going to be focusing on Jesus, our sin bearer, first of all. Then we're going to be looking at Jesus, our living intercessor, and then Jesus, our risen Savior, and Jesus, our faithful Savior. I got those terms, by the way, from a little book recently I was reading. Just a small book called How to Witness to Anyone. It's by R.A. Torrey, A Guide to Effective Evangelism. And, of course, my sermon is my own, is given by God, but I thank the Lord for little things that prick my conscience by such men of God as R.A. Torrey and others who studied these things in the scriptures as well. Now, before we begin, I want you to understand the most important attribute, I believe, of God that we recognize, first of all, before we can get into any of the specifics, is his glory. This is what is, I believe, my friends, I am so hurt about. The glory of God has been besmirched. When you degrade or demean the glory of God, when you attempt to bring him down, it is to me a form of blasphemy. It is the most tragic thing I see in churches today, and especially in so-called televangelist type of work on the boob tube. They attempt to bring God off his throne. Oh, all the while claiming they believe in God, They believe in Jesus. I think you're going to know what I mean after this talk today. But you see, the disciples stated, we beheld His glory. The Old Testament prophet called up before the throne of God, cried out, woe is me, I am undone, for my lips are unclean. You know, when you get in the presence of God, you feel so small. You feel you're just insignificant. Oh, they try to build up your self-esteem today and say that you're great and you're of such worth that Jesus died on the cross for you, but that's a lie. You know that. If you're a Christian, you know it. The truth is, you weren't worth Jesus dying on the cross for. Neither was I. But He did it anyway because He loved us. And He extends His grace to us. That is the glory of God. That is part of the reason that I love Him so very much. I consider Jesus totally lovely. Totally desirable. I'm talking about from a heart basis. Isaiah the prophet says, there was no comeliness in Jesus. He wasn't a handsome man. There was nothing in looking at Jesus that would make a person want to follow Him in terms of the external features. I suppose He'd never make it in Hollywood today. And they say you have to have, the looks now to even be elected president. Somebody was sort of rating and analyzing the presidential candidates recently on television, and they said this candidate or that candidate, I'm not going to mention the names, use your own imagination, he could not possibly become president because he doesn't have the good looks. Well, Jesus did not have the good looks. But you know, He drew men anyway to Him, and He's still drawing men today. Why? Let me tell you what He had, my friends. Jesus was entirely glorious. To those who are called and chosen, Jesus is glorious. And when you come to know Him as Lord, you will cry out, we behold His glory. I have a song for you. A beautiful, beautiful album here of wonderful music by a man named Sterling. He produced this, and the name of the album, I suppose you can get it at your Christian bookstores. It's called We Beheld His Glory. This is just one wonderful song. And then I'm going to be back to talk more about Jesus, our Savior, right after this song, We Beheld His Glory.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
sin is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's 1 John 4, verse 10. You know, one of the things we have to understand before we can win other people to Christ, we ourselves have to acknowledge and fully comprehend that Jesus is our sin bearer. Ephesians 1, verse 7 is a favorite verse of mine. We read, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." I was reading a New Age book by Alice Bailey a few years back, and she said, "How stupid is it to think that you can have your sins forgiven? Your sins are added to your karmic record. That's bad karma. And you have to have enough good karma," she says, "to overcome it, or you'll be stuck in the cycle." And so, basically, your sins are never forgotten or erased. You have to balance them with good works to be reincarnated into a favorable state. That's according to the New Age movement. And I thought, what a very pitiful state of affairs for a religion. But as Christians, we know this truth, that Jesus is our sin bearer. "For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in heaven, or things in earth, or things in heaven." Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." That's what happened when Jesus went to the cross. And you see, many people believe that Jesus cannot be found in the Old Testament. Well, that's just foolish. There He is. He is described by the prophet Isaiah. "The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Now, what is that iniquity that God laid on His Son Jesus on the cross? That iniquity, my friends, is the wages that bring you to death. Let me read you John 3, verse 36. It says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." This is why we know that Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, Jews have the wrath of God upon them. They are not saved, no matter how much they may please their false idols and gods, all of which, by the way, represent Satan. It's made clear that if you believe on the Son, you will have everlasting life. But if you do not believe on the Son, that is Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abideth on you. You know, a lot of people say we should not be negative. Don't say words like no and not. They're harmful. They hurt people's self-esteem. And many preachers believe that, and all of their messages are positive. Well, you know, I'm fixing to come up with a sermon very soon here, a few weeks from now. You just keep listening to Bible Home Church, because there is one verse in the Bible that, well, it's another one of my favorites, John chapter 3, verse 18. And you know what? It's triply negative, triple negative, three times negative. Boy, you want to talk about being negative and pessimistic. Listen to this. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." Well, you have your first knot right there. I could preach a whole sermon just on that. That one knot. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already." You say, well, I don't want to condemn anybody to hell. You don't have to. They're condemned already if they believe not in the Son of God. I'm going to read you the first two parts. All of this, by the way, is found in one sentence. One sentence. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." I want to read you that again. And I want you to take note of the noughts, the negatives here. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You have three noughts in a row. They say, don't do that now. Make everything sound so positive. Well, you see, I believe God wanted to make it quite clear. There were some no-nos that you better pay attention to. He that believeth on him is not condemned. First of all, my friends, that is a message of hope. If you believe in Jesus, you're not condemned. Now, the old devil can say, oh, look at all the sins that you've done. Say, well, they're under the cross. Well, even after you became a Christian, you weren't perfect. There were some things you did wrong, the old devil says. Well, you just say, shut up, devil. I don't have to listen to you. You keep reminding me of my past, I might just remind you of your future. And you hadn't got very much of a future. It's pretty bleak. Read about your own future, devil. And, you know, in Isaiah chapter 12, well, he that believeth on him is not condemned. I love that verse. Am I under condemnation? Absolutely not, because I believe on Jesus Christ in his death on the cross, but resurrection. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Persons out there, and they say, oh, I've never really thought about Christ one way or another. I've not made a decision yet. Oh, yes, they have. Not to decide is to decide. I just gave you another negative there. Listen to that again. Not to decide is to decide. You're not God. You can't set the rules. If you haven't decided, then you have decided. That's what God says. He that believeth not is condemned already. Well, that Hindu, he never really had an opportunity to believe in Jesus because, you know, he was born in a different culture, and he, hold it just a minute, it says right out of here, he that believeth on him, that's Jesus, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. My friends, you know, when you start off in life, there's a burden on your back. There's a gazillion pound weight on your back. You breathe your first breath of life, and I suppose even before that, in the womb, when you're just kicking there after conception, let me tell you something, my friends. You're already condemned. You're condemned in the womb. You hadn't got a chance. You're going straight to hell. You're condemned. You're a condemned man or woman. Death is what has already been appointed to you. But wait. Wait, has it really? Not. If you accept Jesus Christ, then you're not condemned any longer. And then it will have been proven that you were chosen from the very foundation of the world. Maybe nobody knew that. Maybe they said, you know, that Kimberly, that Janet, that Thomas, that Jason, they're just born losers. They're no good. They'll never amount to anything. Maybe you had a parent tell you that. Maybe you had a brother or sister or loved one tell you that. Well, then you proved them wrong. You know why? You accepted Jesus. Suddenly you weren't a born loser at all. You're a born winner. You may have been born condemned, but then you accepted Jesus and you proved God out that he had chosen you before the foundation of the world. Something maybe you didn't know. They certainly didn't know, those who criticized and condemned you. But you see, they have no right to condemn you because you were already condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And you know, my friends, it's not your works. Remember that. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you say, well, I'm going to obey that law exactly. Well, I wish you well, my friends. No one's done it yet but Jesus. But if you say, I can't do it by myself, but I need Jesus, and you believe in the riches of His grace, Ephesians 1 verse 7, then you're really on the right path. In fact, you're more. My friends, you are not condemned any longer. You've had a pardon by God. A pardon meted out to you. Well, Jesus, our sin bearer. Jesus, our risen Savior. Jesus, our faithful Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. A lot of people say, I've got a husband, he's not saved. What can I do? You can believe what Jesus said. He said, believe on me, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. A lot of fathers have wayward daughters or sons. They fall into bad companions and drugs and alcohol. Rebellion. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. But Acts 16:31 says that the responsibility, my friend, is yours. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and your whole household. I can't tell you how many Christians had broken hearts because their children went the wrong way. And although their heart was breaking, they kept that promise of God. Here is Jesus, the promised keeper, our faithful Savior. They kept saying, Lord Jesus, your word says that our whole household will be saved. I'm counting on you, Lord. I believe you. I trust you. And you know what? Before very long, oh, I could have been 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. I don't know. But in God's timing, that son or that daughter returned. Think of the prodigal son. Well, we have a lot of prodigals out there today, don't we? And they returned. And Jesus was faithful and forgave them. Well, we have to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus, the one they call Emmanuel or God with us, rose from the dead. And if He rose from the dead, my friends, you will be resurrected as well. There again is a promise of God. A promise of Jesus, our risen Savior. Paul declared, he cried out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 7 verses 20 through 25. Can you believe that, my friends? You see, our bodies war against us. They war against your very soul, the members of your body. Sin dwelleth in you, but even though evil is present, said Paul, even though you cry out, the fact is, God will deliver you someday from the body of this death, from the flesh, and you will be raised in an immortal body to live forever. And He will keep you by the power of the Holy Ghost through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. My friends, if He can save you, He can keep you, He can resurrect you. This is Tex Mars, your pastor. You've been listening to Bible Home Church. I pray that you'll tune in next week as we continue this important series. And until then, may God richly bless you always.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.